Luke 16 verses 14 through 18. This is the reading of God's Word. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, were listening to all these things and were scoffing at him. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves in the sight of men, but God knows your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since that time, the gospel of the kingdom of God has been preached. Everyone is forcing his way into it. But it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one stroke of a letter of the law to fail. Everyone who divorces his wife, marries another, commits adultery. And he who marries one who is divorced from a husband commits adultery." Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word so our faith will truly grow. We will be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Through your word, let us see what our Lord has done and accomplished for us, and let us see our heavenly realities that has been already accomplished, and let us rejoice and give you thanksgiving and give you all the glory. We pray that by your grace, your word will be preached correctly, and all of us not only hear your word, but believe and obey to bring glory and honor to you. Receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, through the book of Luke, we are looking at our Lord Jesus Christ accomplishing the kingdom of God. And in Luke 16, which we're in, Jesus is teaching us that if the kingdom of God has come, then how must Christians, the citizens of heaven, use the worldly wealth according to the will of God? It is always according to what has accomplished by our God. It is always like that. That is why God gave Israelites 10 commandments after he saved them from Egypt. It was never before he saved them and give these laws and say, if you obey them, I will save you. That was not what happened. He saved them. He brought them out and gave them 10 commandments. Why? How are they to live is according to what God has accomplished for you. That's the reason why you have to live now differently, because of what God has done for you, what he has accomplished for you. So if God saved you, if God brought his kingdom, and if the world is passed away spiritually, then there's a certain way you must live. You cannot just live as if nothing has happened. And that's what the book of Luke is witnessing to us. What did God do? And when it comes to, in terms of money, if a heaven has come, then how are we to live with that wealth of this world in light of that fact? Now that the kingdom of God has come, Jesus says that with the worldly wealth, we must make friends in this world. Meaning we must use the wealth for other people. He says that we cannot serve God and wealth together. Then we come to our passage, verse 14. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, were listening to all these things and were scoffing at Jesus Christ. the Pharisees scoff at Jesus Christ. This is the response of the sinners when they hear the truth of God. They laugh at it. And why were they scoffed at Jesus Christ when Jesus was saying all these things? Well, the Bible tells us that because they were lovers of money. Literally, they were friends of money. God says to make friends with money, but they have become friends of money. They love money. Thus, they serve money. The Pharisees, they were greedy. And according to the Bible, because they were greedy, they were idolaters. But they did not realize at all that they were idolaters. Here, we must understand something here. The Pharisees and the citizens of this world, they believe that making a lot of money is a result of God's blessing upon them and upon what they do. This is how they believed. And that's how the world believes. Even if you talk to the non-Christian, they understand that principle. So anybody's rich, then God bless that person. And God approves what he's doing because he's rich. That's the proof of it. But that is not what the Bible teaches. See, these people believe that being successful in this world is a result of God's being pleased with them, and thus God is blessing them. There are so many in the church today who believe the same thing. Our questions for them is, how are they going to explain non-Christian being so successful in this world? Obviously, it's not because God approves their faith, because they have none, and they're sinning without repentance, and yet they're so rich. Why is God blessing them if God blesses his people who are obeying him, and living that holy life? If that's the case, why we see the evil world so successful? Because they're blinded by their love of this world. That's what they want. Like these Pharisees, they're lovers of money. For the Pharisees, this kind of wrong belief comes from misunderstanding the Old Testament. In fact, if you read passages like Deuteronomy chapter 28, let me read that to you. I'm going to read from verse 2. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the offsprings of your body, and the products of your ground, and the offspring of your beasts, and increase of your herd, the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket, your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. So if you obey, you will be blessed. And this is what they read in the book, Old Testament. Thus they believe that being successful in this world is a result of God's blessing. How could they not believe that when they read passages like that in the Old Testament? So they believe that being so, meaning rich, proves that they were obeying God well. But see, with the coming of Jesus, the end of this world also came. The Old Testament has passed away. And they did not understand that Old Testament was a typological, meaning this worldly. They did not understand what Jesus Christ coming and accomplishing the kingdom of God really means. Now all that the typological is passed away and all the worldly has been fulfilled by our Lord Jesus Christ into heavenly. Thus the world has passed away. But see, they love this world so much, they didn't like it passing away. They did not want to forsake this world. In fact, they love this world more than heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14 through 16, but their minds were hardened. For until this very day, at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So when they read the Old Testament, the veil is covering their eyes so that even when they read, they're not really understanding what God meant. It was a typological, but they took it as an eternal because they love the world. But God's will was never worldly. Ultimately, God's will was always heavenly. We need to understand this. The world passed away. The Pharisees scoff at Jesus Christ. And God has already told us, during the last days, there will be so many people who will be the lovers of money. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2a, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant. But if you really want to see how truly blessed man looks like, then you look at Jesus Christ. Because He is the truly blessed man. And see how much He had when it comes to worldly things. You need to understand what the Bible is trying to tell you. And I pray that Holy Spirit will work in you so that you may understand. If you want to know how heavenly blessing is expressed in this world, look at Jesus Christ. That's how it is expressed. He did not even have a home to lay His head. But He was so blessed. You have to start thinking like the Bible. You cannot understand or know or think according to the worldly standard, because it's not true. And next Lord's Day, we're going to look at the parable. The rich man goes to hell, and the poor beggar goes to heaven. But rich man, isn't he one who is so blessed by God? Why does he go to hell? So you question this. Who is truly blessed? And we cannot answer that according to worldly standard no more. We cannot. And Jesus says to Pharisees, verse 15, and He said to them, you are those who justify yourselves in the sight of men, but God knows your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God. These people do everything to show off to the other people. That's the world. Oh, whenever some famous person helps out some cause or some people, The whole news crew, they come because they want to show off. Everybody knows what that person has done. That's the world. God says, let your right hand not know what your left hand is doing, but these people, they want the whole world to know how good they are. That's not Christianity at all. You should never let other people know what you're doing if you're doing something good. God knows, and that's enough. But the world is different. They do to show up, to justify themselves in the sight of this world. Luke chapter 10, verse 29, do you remember this guy? But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, they are holy on the outside only. Matthew 23, verse 27, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. But they themselves believe that they are righteous in the sight of God. That's the problem. Luke 18, verse 11 and 12, the Pharisees stood and were praying this to himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithe of all that I get. This is Pharisees. But see, we must understand that in the worldly level, they actually did what they were saying. You know, we think that Pharisees are so evil, but they actually live better life than all of us. What was so evil about them is that they actually thought that they were good. And because of what they have done, that God has to bless them. That's what's so evil about them. But if you want to compare your life with what Pharisee has done, don't even, because they win. They actually fast twice a week, and they actually get tithe. They actually did not physically commit any sin. But they thought that they were good in the sight of God. And why did not Pharisees repent? The same question is, why are you not repenting every single day? Because they believe that they did everything right, that they did not sin. That's why they don't repent. I mean, think about it. If you believe that you have sinned, of course you're going to repent. But you don't, because you don't think it is sin. You did not sin. Oh, you did not do that well, but I did better than that guy. So is that give you right not to repent? If you don't repent, you're making God a liar. He calls you a sinner, but you say, no, I'm not. If you are not repenting of your sins every day, then you live just like the Pharisees. But see, God sees the hearts. God sees the inside. Matthew 5:28, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. There's no man in this room who has not committed adultery like this. But they say, no, I'm not adulterer. That's why they don't repent. Because they didn't sin according to themselves. 1 John chapter 3, verse 15. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. But we say, no, I didn't kill anybody. That's why they don't repent. Because they don't think they sinned. But God sees the heart. So you and I are all adulterers and murderers, but we believe we are not. See, this is what being a Pharisee is all about. They think they're okay. First Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, for God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Revelation 2, verse 23b, I am he who searches the minds and hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God. Do you understand that? What is your purpose? To get approval out there in the world? So all this simple man of the world, they just praise you? Is that what you want? You know, my heart tears apart when I think about the world in which my young people, young brothers and sisters live in. The whole stupid system is about getting approval of men of this sinful world. Even from school, it's all about getting approval of this sinful world. But see, you got to understand, that's not how we live. We don't care what the world says. We obey the Bible. Do as much as possible. You and I, we do not seek the approval of this world. 1 Corinthians 3:19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. Then Jesus continues, verse 16, the law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since that time, the gospel of this kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is forcing his way into it. Now, brothers and sisters, verse 14 through 18 is not easy passage to understand. So you really need to understand the flow of this passage. Because you have, you know, Jesus saying all kinds of things and he ends with divorce. Like, you have to ask, what is he trying to say here? So, follow along here. You got to understand the flow of our passage. The Pharisees believe that being successful in this world is a result of God's blessings because of their own righteousness. Thus, they believe that they are righteous in God's sight. And they misunderstood the Old Testament. They understood it only in terms of this world. They actually believe that in order for anyone to enter the kingdom of God, he or she must be at least on their level of righteousness. And they actually were at pretty high level of righteousness according to the level of this world. Thus, when they heard the teachings of Jesus, how he accepting the sinners, they just could not accept it. Jesus is saying that even the prostitutes and the tax collectors are able to enter the kingdom of God. They just could not accept Jesus who preaches that practically anybody can enter the kingdom of God. But see, Pharisees, oh, they try so hard to be accepted by God. They try so hard to be holy
so that they could be the citizen of heaven. And here's Jesus saying, anybody can come. This is why Pharisees could not accept Jesus. For them, who did their best to live a righteous life, cannot accept that any sinner is able to enter the kingdom of God. They just did not like Jesus Christ lowering the standard of the citizens of the kingdom of God. That's what they thought. They're wrong. Jesus actually raised to their perfect level. Because only person who is able to enter the kingdom of God has to have the perfect righteousness of Jesus. But see, they didn't understand what Jesus was teaching. All they see is Jesus lowering the standard of heaven. Even prostitute. How can she enter the kingdom of God? For Pharisees, that's ridiculous. You got to understand what these people are thinking. But see, you and I must realize that we live often with the same heart. What would you say? What would you do if a prostitute comes to our church? Would you not say to yourself, what is that kind of person doing here? Because you think you're better. Exactly like Pharisees. Are you going to heaven? Because you live a little bit better life than those sick sinners out there? Is that what you think? Is that why you're going to heaven? This is what Pharisees think. This is how they live. And so many people who go to church today, they do the same. They always think that they're better than those people. I didn't commit murder. I didn't commit adultery. I'm better than them. Jesus says, no. You need perfect righteousness to enter kingdom of God. And only place where you could get that perfect righteousness is in Jesus Christ. You and I are saved by Jesus Christ, because of Jesus Christ. Not because we're any better than other people. Jesus says that the period in which the law and the prophets were leading God's people is until John the Baptist. The Old Testament has ended, and the kingdom of God that the law and the prophet promised has come. Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, therefore the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under the tutor. Jesus is in fact saying to them, do you not understand the law correctly? If you were, then you would be led to Christ and would believe in Him. But Pharisees are still under the law and thus under the judgment of God. But since that time, gospel of the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is forcing his way into it. Or New American Bible Version, and everyone who enters does so with violence. Or New King James, and everyone is pressing into it. The gospel of the kingdom of God. Now it is through repentance and faith you enter the kingdom. Everyone is forcing his way into it. What does that mean? Everyone who enters does so with violence.
Because the oppression of Satan is so harsh, and there is so much sufferings and persecution as we enter the kingdom of God, because we are to enter the narrow gate. And because of it, the entering of the kingdom of God is expressed that way. Meaning it's not an easy thing to do. Luke chapter 14, verse 26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brother and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You know, now it's all about easy believism. Believing Christ is so easy. They teach you. I'm sure there are many Christians who went to church for 50 years and never heard these kind of passages. Unless you hate your own father and mother and wife and children and brother and sister, even your own life cannot be my disciple. 50 years in church, they never hear this passage. Because it's easy to believe in Christ. It's not easy. If you want to live according to the Word, it's impossible. Unless God blesses us. And Lord continues to speak. If that is so, he's asking, is this mean that the law and the prophet are abolished? Jesus says, no. Verse 17, but it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one stroke of a letter of the law to fail. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 and 18, do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. You need to understand what Jesus is saying. Let me say this clear. We are not saved by the law. We are not saved by the works. But the law still is a good thing to us. To say it according to how our church says it, the law shows us the life of Christ and also our eternal life of heaven. And you and I must obey the law of God perfectly. But the good news is that our Lord Jesus Christ has obeyed them perfectly for us in our places. When we get to heaven, we will be living, obeying the law of God perfectly. Jesus did not come to abolish the law, but he came to fulfill them. He has revealed perfectly the will of God, and he has fulfilled the will of God of loving God and loving neighbor perfectly. And he also fulfilled all the typologicals of the Old Testament. All of God's promises and promises are accomplished in heavenly realities. See, some people are mistaken that all that means that they do not have to obey the law of God. It is true for our salvation, we don't have to obey the law perfectly because Jesus obeyed them in our places perfectly. But those who truly believe that we are saved by what Jesus Christ has done, they will also do their best to obey the law of God as much as possible out of their love for God. That has to be also true. Once again, let us understand the flow of our passage. The Pharisees believe that Jesus is lowering the standard of the citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Thus, they are against what Jesus teaches. But their problem is that they believe that they actually obey the law of God. In fact, they misunderstand the law of God. God has said there is no one righteous, not even one. But they believe that they are actually righteous because at the worldly level, they did their best to obey the law of God and they did pretty good. But they are still sinners. And as such, only thing that they are able to do is to live a life of a hypocrisy. Life of a hypocrite. Only outwardly, to show up to the other people, living a life of hypocrisy. Do you understand this? Without Jesus Christ, you and I, that is all we could do. Live like a hypocrite, pretending that we are good. And obeying God's law only outwardly. Just physically, you never commit adultery. But in your heart, every time you see pretty woman out there, you commit adultery all the time. But you pretend you're holy, that you're good. See, without Christ, that's the only thing we could do. Pretending. But as we saw, God looks at our hearts. The period in which we were led by the law and the prophet was only until John the Baptist. Now the kingdom of God has come. The Old Testament has ended. Now the good news of the kingdom of God is preached and God's people repent and believe to come into the kingdom of God. But this does not mean that the law of God is abolished. Jesus says that he did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. It is actually Pharisees who are abolishing the law of God. So Jesus says, okay, let me give you an example. And that's what verse 18 is all about. Everyone who divorces his wife and marries another commit adultery. And he who marries one who is divorced from a husband commits adultery. See, they misunderstood the law of God, so God is correcting them. Deuteronomy chapter 24, this is what Deuteronomy chapter 24 says, verse 1. When a man takes a wife and marries her, and it happens that she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some indecency in her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out from his house. This is what you will find in Deuteronomy chapter 24. But see, you got to understand this. Let me give you an example. I think this is how you will understand. You will find command in the Bible to sacrifice animal. You will find it, right? To sacrifice animals to God. Now, when you read that, you don't take it literally and say, whoa, I need to sacrifice an animal. How many of you will do that? You understand that that command is in the Old Testament and it was pointing to Jesus, and Jesus comes and fulfills that sacrifice, perfect sacrifice, so that that sacrifice, animal sacrifice, is no longer needed. This is how you're going to understand. So, this command, Deuteronomy 24, is the same way. It's in the Old Testament, and you need to understand what is the will of God. The ultimate will of God for giving that command. You got to think like this. You can't just literally apply it. Then you'll be sacrificing animal today. He here he says, if you marry a woman, and if you find some indecency in her, you could divorce her. You could kick her out. So these Pharisees, you gotta love them, because they're just like us. These Pharisees understood this Deuteronomy 24 in terms of their own sinful desire. It says that if the husband finds some indecency in his wife, he could divorce her. So some of the Pharisees understood that to mean that if a husband does not like how the wife cooks, and let's say she burnt the dinner, you could kick her out, you could divorce her. And that's exactly what they were doing at the time. And they accused Jesus of abolishing the law. And Jesus is just pointing out to them how ridiculous they are. They're the ones who's abolishing God's law. You've got to understand what Jesus is doing. They themselves are guilty of the very thing that they are accusing Jesus Christ of. So Jesus proclaims the true meaning of what God is saying in His law. Everyone who divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery. That's what Jesus is saying. Jesus now interprets what God's ultimate will is behind all those laws. So Jesus says, everyone who divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery. And he who marries one who is divorced from a husband commits adultery. See, you see, divorce was never the will of God, even from the very beginning. Then we might ask, why then does God allow divorce in Deuteronomy chapter 24? Well, Jesus answers in New Testament, Mark chapter 10, verse 4. They say Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away. But Jesus said to them, because of your hardened of heart, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. In the house of the disciples began questioning him about this again. And he said to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against her. And if she herself divorces her husband and marries another man, she is committing adultery. It was because of our sinfulness that at the time of that period, if a divorce was not allowed, so many women would have been hurt. So bad. It was because of sinfulness of men that in the Old Testament, it's a typological divorce was given. But it was never God's will. Just like it was never ultimate God's will that we'll be sacrificing animal forever. That was never God's will. But up to a point in redemptive history, that was commanded before Christ come. You have to understand the flow of the Bible. Matthew chapter 5, verse 32, but I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife except for the reason of unchastity, meaning unfaithfulness, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. So in summary, Matthew 19, verse 7 through 9, they say to him, why then did Moses command to give her a certificate of divorce and send her away? Well, he said to them, because of your hardened of heart, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it has not been this way. It kind of says the same thing as what we read before, but it's a little different. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for immorality and marries another woman commits adultery. And other than unfaithfulness, does Bible allow divorce? Yes, one more case, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 12 through 13 and 15. But to the rest I say, not the Lord, that if any brother has a wife who is an unbeliever, and she consents to live with him, he must not divorce her. And a woman who has an unbelieving husband, and he consents to live with her, she must not send her husband away. Yet, if the unbelieving one leaves, let him leave. The brother or the sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. Now, this case is that, let me explain. Why? Husband and wife, they get married, but at the time they're both non-Christian. They got married. But later on, one becomes a Christian. And if a non-Christian wife or husband says, man, I still love you, I want to live with you, then you don't divorce. But if that non-believing partner says, no, man, you became Christian, I cannot live with you anymore, then divorce is allowed. Let him go or let her go. That's the only other case that divorce is allowed. Other than that, divorce is not allowed. But men are still so sinful. Let me end this. The sinful people of this world, they could only scoff at teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what you're going to find out when you go out and say what Bible says. They will laugh at you. That's how it's going to be. Romans chapter 8 verse 7, because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. They just have no capacity to accept what God says. Not only they do not obey, they cannot obey. Unless the Holy Spirit comes and recreates him into a new creation. The more serious problem is that when so-called believers scoff at the teaching of Jesus Christ, it's very sad to say that today, if I say what I say in other churches, the church people will scoff at me. And it's going to get worse. That's what the Bible says. And as a believer, many times we love money more than God. I mean, let's face it. I mean, you could pretend all you want. But God sees your hearts. And I have to confess to Him. Yeah, many times. I love money. And without repentance and faith, you and I are only capable of living just like the Pharisees, hypocrites, pretending, misunderstanding, thinking that we are doing okay. But to you and to me, the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God has been preached, like our passage says. Jesus Christ has obeyed the law of God perfectly for us and in our places. That's the only way we could be saved. But see, these people who believe that they're saved by their works, how else are they going to show other people they're Christian other than pretending? That, oh, I'm so holy and I obey God very well. We know they don't. Nobody does. No one is righteous, not even one. No one does good, not even one, God says, and yet they think they are. Only hope we have is that Jesus Christ obeyed the law perfectly for us in our place. But if we believe that and we're saved, then we now, Bible says, we live by faith and repentance. And why repentance? Because we did not do anything right. We never did anything perfectly. Do you understand that this kind of message is just so hated by the world? Every single time you come to church, you hear, oh, you are guilty. You have to repent. They hate this. Truly hate it. But if I stand here and say, oh, you are so good. Oh, God will bless you. God will give you a bigger house. Oh, He will give you a better car. Oh, you're so good. They love it. I have to preach the truth. And truth says, anything that you have done is sinful. Unless you do it by faith and you repent. And you try again your best to obey. But you will fail. That's why you have to repent again. And again, you have to try harder. But you will fail again. That's why you gotta repent again. And try harder. This is what your life is all about. Until we get to heaven, when we will not sin anymore. Repentance and faith. God clearly says there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who does good, not even one. We repent because all we do is sin without Christ. But we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe that He has died for us to fully pay for our sins, and He has lived that perfect righteous life for us in our places. That is the only way to enter the kingdom of God. And that is what Jesus Christ is proclaiming. But so many other people have different idea how they're going to enter the kingdom of God. In particular, the Pharisees, they thought they're going to enter the kingdom of God by their good life. So if they start believing that, then they have to believe that their deeds are actually good. Otherwise, they have to say to themselves, I'm going to hell. And they will not do that. But they know their acts are not good. They do. But you have to continue that front. So you have to pretend. So all these people, they come. You know, when I was a youth pastor, and I don't believe in youth pastors, but I was one. These kids, they were really close to me. You know, they liked me, I liked them. You know, it was that kind of relationship. So, I see them coming with their parents. And the parents will go to, you know, the regular worship, and the kids will come to me. Youth pastor, we have a separate worship. And I hear from these kids, because they tell me everything. As soon as they got up this morning, the Sunday morning, mom and father, they were fighting like crazy. They were like cussing at each other. They're fighting and fighting. And the kid going, oh man, it's just so miserable. And later on, when I see their parents, because it's the same church, oh boy, they pretend to be holy. Seriously holy people. Even they talk holy. See, all they could do is pretend. And that's how we are. That's why we need Jesus Christ. I confess to you, and this is not just saying it, I deserve to go to hell right now if it is all according to what I have done. And so are you. But see, good news is Jesus Christ. Hold on to it. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for what he has done. Because that is the only hope that we have. Otherwise, we'll be just pretending and we'll all go to hell. That's the reality. So, Father, let us repent of our sins and do our best to obey you more and more. Bless us. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.